This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
As usual, it's special being here. We have a flow of people from Silver Spring to Silver Spring over the years. It's been mutually enriching and rewarding having Talmidim who got the foundation over here, having people who came to get the foundation here and so on. So it's Shivi Matzliach, and especially since the founders of Yeshiva and the pillars of Yeshiva, many of them are from the Mir and White Kufa. So it's a makom I feel very much at home. The topic I was asked to speak about is not an easy topic because it's practical. But it's much easier when you can speak about things that are a little up there and not so practical. And that's the relationship with the nations of the world, with Umas HaOlam. For many, many centuries, the issue was kind of moot. The relationships were difficult. Most of the time, it's, to quote one of the mayors of New York, I think it was Koch maybe, or being one of the first Jewish mayors, there was a Ukrainian Day parade, and he as mayor was leading it together, whatever was the head of it, and he looks back and he said, in the old country, if I would have seen so many Ukrainians behind me, I'd be running for my life. that was the level of relationship, and there was a lot of animosity, mostly caused by the stoke by the church, the difficult conditions of the people, and so on. So the relationships were not an issue. There were countries like Italy over the centuries, Spain in different times, where there was a lot of acculturation, where there was a lot of interaction, intellectual, quasi-religious interaction. In Italy, you had over the centuries rabbis and priests studying together and so on. And it took a heavy toll on you got sucked into, because the religion of Christianity was dominant and magnificent and successful at the time, it had not a good effect on people. It's a sad part of our history that many people in Spain converted before the Inquisition. There was pressure, there was incentive, but a lot of it had to do with the lack of clear boundaries. In America, we are fortunate to have a very positive environment. I mean, every so often, people ask occasionally, what do I think of the symptoms in America? When I grew up, when I walked down the street, I kept looking behind me to see if any Ukrainians are following me. Not Ukrainians, but modern-day Ukrainians. It wasn't safe. I was called the Jew boy, whatever. I don't think they hated Jews. I was a target, and that was kind of... Today, there is. I mean, it's a gift. But with that comes the fact that we are very intertwined. It's not the intellectual rabbi-priest type of thing like in Italy or Spain. It's normal life, flows together. Americans are very egalitarian, there's no boundaries. And we have family members intermarried, people we interact with and so on. And it's a question, how do we deal with it in a way that is Torah true and yet feasible and decent and so on? Specific answers are obvious, different for each person, and you need somebody you can talk it over with. I want to try to sketch out a few important principles so that we have an understanding of what it's about. The Kuzari, it's very interesting, his approach to Yiddishkeit doesn't start with God, it starts with Klal Yisrael. And that's his focal point. His focal point is Klal Yisrael. That's how he builds Emunah and so on. His big picture of what happened, and the Ramchal in his language says it very similarly, is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, Adam. And Adam is what Hashem made the focus of creation. This is what it's all about. Adam does not know any internal boundaries. Adam is Adam. After the Chet of Adam Rishon, and the Chet becoming enforced and entrenched with Dara Mabel, Dara Flog, and so on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried very hard to rehabilitate man. And it didn't work. Obviously Hashem knew, but this is it presented itself and didn't work. So the divine plan became, let us choose a specific subset and let's make them the ones that will become the model Adam, the perfect Adam, and that will bring the world up so that anything that's possible to be Adam will become Adam. It's just like when you have, sometimes you work with a group of people and then you realize so long as it's diffused, you're not able to bring out the best. You pick a specific group, you make them sort of the lead group and demonstration of what you could do, and that becomes a model for others to follow. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu left open the possibility of a subset of humanity to bring out some of that Tzuras Adam, that that model of what a person is. Adam. Next one was Avraham. Avraham was the first person in this mess of a world that showed his person to be of the cut that Adam is meant to be. And of his children, Yitzchak showed it, and of his children, Yaakov. And at that point, we had at least the raw material of what could become Adam. Yaakov's children also needed work. And Mitzrayim, with its difficulties, presenting a tremendous hurdle in many ways, brought out the very core, let's call it genes, it's a spiritual genetic material that finally came out of Mitzrayim. So it was a process of finding the core values of what Adam presents and making that into a nation that would become perfection and perfect the world with it. Mr. Sharm says it in his introduction to Mr. Sharm that the ultimate purpose of man is to raise the entire world with him. So with the leaving of Mitzrayim, the Jewish nation was created. The Jewish nation is Mamlechas Kohanim. It's the nation of elevated people that would become that model. Now, let me make one thing clear. Somebody once asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who is better, a non-Jew who's performing magnificently or a Jew who's failing? And the Rebbe said, it depends if we're talking about potential or realization. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of the day gives schar based on what you've done and where you're holding. But the reason why a Jew is special is because of the latent abilities. Being a Jew means we have the ability to become something other than what you would expect from a physical, biological entity. A person who has feelings, drives, ambitions, for things that are not material and go way beyond that, in many areas. The Maral, when he speaks about the different mitzvahs that Jews are given over non-Jews, says that a tariag mitzvahs do not fit a non-Jew. He doesn't need it as such and can't handle it as such. He can do them, but there is nothing it'll click into. It's like when you have a gadget that has 35 pins and the thing you're sticking in only has 5 holes. The other 30 holes are just useless. The other 30 pins are just useless. Yisrael has a need for Tayag mitzvahs and an ability to hold these Tayag mitzvahs and to become extremely refined because of Tayag mitzvahs. So we have a basic level of human decency that expresses itself in Zayin mitzvahs. That's a minimal needed to have a Shein Adam. And then we have Tayag mitzvahs, that's the fullness of Adam, and that Klal Yisrael possesses the ability. And if you possess the potential and ability, you possess the obligation as well. It's not it's not a luxury. Whatever it is that we have in us that could be fulfilled, we're obligated. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not give us extra stuff. Every penny, every talent, every ounce of spiritual ability, if it didn't come to realization in this world, we're going to be asked about it. What happened to it? I gave you this, and so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has developed over, has created in this world a subsection called Klal Yisrael. They represent man as he should have been. We are far from, we're not born perfect at all, because man was not meant to be born perfect. He was meant to have an ability to realize perfection. So Klal Yisrael, once that became set, all the nations of the world are people who on their own can't realize it. We can realize it, and we're obligated to realize it, and that's why we carry a tremendous ruchnistic burden to do so much more than is expected of a normal person. And when we become the people who we are, the world will rise and uplift with us together. Exactly how? Will everybody become Jewish? Will everybody become part of the picture, Don? Those are part of Mashiach, and we just have a vague idea that I'll call all the nations Sofer Brura, they'll all come together, exactly what will happen, but mankind will have fulfilled itself. We are the ones that are going to lead it. Now, in order for that to happen, the biggest obstacle to it is the following. I once read a very insightful point about biology. I guess it can be insightful biology as well. When you ask people in a cell, what is the most important part of a cell? So, the nucleus, the mitochondria, a lot of answers. This person said, the membrane that surrounds the cell, because that defines the cell. You can take all of the material of a cell and empty it into water, and it's not a living being, because it's just chemicals floating in water. The membrane, whether it's a cause or effect, but the membrane, it defines a cell as a cell. And when it's in one place, and it has its defined boundaries, that is going to become a being, an entity. So Klal Yisrael, since we are, from the get-go, physical beings, we're not different biologically than an animal, we're not different emotionally on our basic level than any human being, it's only the core neshama that has that extra dimension. If we diffuse ourselves and meld into the world around us, we will never ever be able to realize what we're supposed to. That membrane is called Havdalah. V'avdil eschem mibein ha'amim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I set you apart and aside. We keep a distance. We keep a boundary. The Drasha Saran and the Rashba, Drasha Saran and the Rashba has a small sefer, a Vikuach and Amuna. I think it was written vis-a-vis Christianity. And they both say almost the same thing. They say that the enmity that's created between Jews and non-Jews is because of this Havdalah. It's automatic. If somebody comes and says, hi, come over for the barbecue, and I say, thanks, but no thanks, or I'll sit in the corner and sip a Diet Coke, it's a bit insulting. And it says that food brings people together. If I can't eat your food, we can never be together. If I want to introduce your wonderful son to my wonderful daughter and I say, no way, it's insulting. I'm saying that I'm different, and people don't like that. And that is Havdalah. In order for Klal Yisrael to be who they are, they need to have that sense of distinction. We are like other people, but we're not. As we're different, we're distinct, and the Torah part of the mitzvahs create that barrier, not to marry in, not to eat together, and so on. Not to culturally mingle. There's something called Chukos HaGoyim. It's hard sometimes halacha to define it, but in the broad picture, it's the general culture milieu of the world around is not our culture milieu. It's fascinating. The most famous Gioras is Rus, and we learn a lot of the halachas of Geirus from Rus. And one of the halachas is, we teach Geir, we teach a person things, and if you take a look, the first thing that Naomi told Rus, Basha Telche Elchi, she told, we don't go to theaters and circuses. Now, that's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not, certainly not a chomer dikah. I mean, if you want to start things that are chomer, what about Shabbos? The first thing we tell her is, we don't go to theaters. Yes, may not be the best thing in the world, but why is it not so yeshivish to go to theater? What is it? Why is that the first thing tell a ger? And the answer is, because understand, you're not taking on religious practices. You're becoming part of a different world. This is not our world. And since this was, I guess, the major cultural venue, so this is, we're telling you, no, you're going to be of a different nation. Rav Hutna used to point out at Gemara in Yevamis that when you tell a future ger, you try to push him away, you tell him two things. First of all, Klal Yisrael has it very rough, and he has to say, if only it'd be worth it. And then we tell him, mitzvahs are kind of really rough and tough, and here are some of them. So he explained that Geirus is a two-part process. I'm accepting mitzvahs, and I'm also accepting I'm part of a people. And Klal Yisrael, nations are defined by geographies, language. There is no such thing as a third-generation Italian-American. There's not even anything, a second-generation Italian-American. He's American. Yeah, my old man came from Italy someplace. Because he's not living in Italy, he's not speaking Italian, so what makes him Italian? The only African-Americans, because they look different, that's why they're still African-Americans. But there is nothing, no other country, Ukrainian, Russian, Italian, French, it's second generation, they're Americans, and that's it. We're different. We're Jewish, and it's Jewish not just a religion. We're a people that stay even in a different culture. We're in a different culture, in a different world, and we're different, and we have this Havdalah that keeps us apart artificially, but really it's organically that way. So what do? We now have two perspectives on the non-Jew. One is, he is Adam, he's a person. He's a person who someday will achieve what I am struggling to achieve on his behalf. My respect for him, my care for him and everything is the care for Tzelem Elokim. My work, part of what I'm doing, is in order that he finds his proper place and so on. So there is the respect and positive attitude towards a person like that. On the other hand, I need to make it clear that it's not me. Those are very, very difficult things to do. It's difficult with strangers to reach the balance of appropriate respect, compassion, care, and yet it's not me, and a real personal bond will not exist. It becomes extremely difficult when it's family. So, or it's people that I interacted with tremendously, or people that helped me a lot, or that I was involved with them, and many issues like that. So, two things that have to, that are important to bear in mind. And again, whenever it comes to a specific issue, these are very difficult, very delicate issues, and having somebody you can speak to personally who understands you and understands the situation is very advisable. But two of the more practical guiding factors would be Darkei Shalom, friction in a family and in a close-knit community is a curse, and it creates tremendous problems and upheavals. And we, whatever we can do, even if it's a stretch, but Allah allows it, so Shalom Bayis, Narkei Shalom, and so on, are very important factors. On the other hand, there's a marshal it's a famous marshal. People misquote it a bit, but I'll tell you what he says. That's important to bear in mind simultaneously. The marshal says, he speaks about a Gemara Bava Kama, where the Goyim asked the Jews about a certain halacha, and they told him X, Y, and Z, and so on. And he asked, why didn't they just lie? I mean, it was a thorny subject, and just avoid the truth and so on. And the Mashal has a very strong shita about corrupting Torah, about saying things about Torah or Yiddishkeit that are absolutely not true. He says it, that you're supposed to do it even at the price of Sakanas Nefashis, where it's dangerous. He there's sort of a proof to that. It says Agrippus was the king. He was not Jewish, or not fit to be a king, but he was a very nice king. His power was based on the Romans. He wasn't a king, organic king of the Jewish people. And when he found out, he was very upset, and everybody told him, no, you're just like a brother, you're like one of us, you deserve to be king, you can be king, and so on. And it says the Jews, for that statement, deserve to be killed, and it falls under the general rubric of what's called chanufa, which means distorting the truth for personal gain, which is a very bad midah. So those are two mekoros that indicate that. Modern poskim disagree with the fact they say the mashal shita is mashal shita, but pikuach nefesh doesn't get pushed away. But if it's not pikuach nefesh, then it's a very strong issur. So to tell somebody it's perfectly okay to marry somebody not Jewish is a terrible thing, and it's usur. To deal with the situation, and sometimes it's people that don't understand it, and you create havoc. And there are many other factors, potential that the person might sincerely become Jewish, and so on. There are many factors, but learning how to say things in a way that you don't, for instance, if you tell somebody, meeting the person, I understand what you like about the person, but you know, for us, keeping the Jewish people alive and remaining Jewish is paramountly important, and it hurts me. It's very different than saying it in a very, very gruff way. Learning how to balance the two, and just trying to point out parameters. On the one hand, you need to be able to never say something that's wrong. You can't distort Torah blatantly, openly, for anything, unless pikuach nefesh. On the other hand, preserving peace and darkei shalom and menschlichkeit are extremely important. It takes a lot of times, you know, and especially because a person is emotionally buffeted by it. You'll have cases where a family that's observant and orthodox, and one of the children marries out. How do you deal with it? There are a lot of variables, and it's tremendous pain and tremendous emotional turmoil. But understanding a little bit about what it is, how we're looking at it. We're not looking at the other person as being worthless. We're not looking at them as being subhuman. We're looking at them as being humans, tzalim lekim, who cannot realize themselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want people. People are not just other animals standing on 2 feet. They're an entity that has an neshama to it, which means a moral feel that no animal can or will possess. Klal Yisrael's charge and mission is to bring it to the level it ought to be, not to a minimal level of not stealing, not robbing, giving some charity, and that's it, but to bring Tariq Mitzvahs, which is a whole Ruchnistika world. The charge to do it is our initial charge as a nation, and part of that is to preserve ourself, to be mantle ourself, is a statement about us, not about them. We, to remain who we are, need to put a wall around ourselves, need to put a membrane around ourselves so we can define ourselves. The difference is what makes us us. We are different, we think differently, we understand differently, we act differently in a positive way. And we have so many more mitzvahs and so many more yisurim. We need to, we can't ever distort Torah for convenience and say things that are openly wrong, that, you know, for convenience. On the other hand, working hard, racking your brain hard and figuring out how to preserve Darkei Shalom is extremely important. Chazal made many, many takanas for Darkei Shalom, and it's a struggle, it's hard. That's why, since every situation is different, there's nothing you can say works everyone, but at least try to sketch out some of the parameters, some of the issues, and God willing, this is it's a terrible issue, because when the enmity is clear, so it's rough, it's tough, it hurts, but it's a clear borderline. My job is to be safe and to keep out of harm's way. But when we have intertwining and keeping our havdalah becomes sometimes very difficult and sometimes emotionally difficult, that's a real big nisayon. And it is the nisayon of our generation, and God willing, Be'ez Hashem, will be zeichet to become the people we ought to become, and once we'll become the people we ought to become, and people understand what Yisrael is and what Klal Yisrael is, God willing, the issue will become a moot issue. Be'ez Hashem.
Perhaps Rashid can take 2 or 3 questions from the guys. Maybe they have some specific questions that you would like to ask Rashid.
Yeah.
Would it be mutar asur, or advisable or not advisable, if one could tell a lie to break up into marriage?
The answer is yes. It's just like to save a life, you would be able to lie. You do have to be smart enough to understand if you found out there'd be repercussions. But certainly, we see it as something so terrible that it's definitely whatever it would take. 100%. You certainly can be Mishana for this. But I'm just saying, on a practical level, you need to know that you need to know it's like a boomerang. You know, there's a practical part to it. Yeah.
Is when
people ask about Judaism, Gentiles ask about Judaism because of confusion points, is there I know we're not supposed to, you said, you just told me something that's, I'm not supposed to have kunufa, I'm not supposed to lie about it to make him feel better. But how much exactly am I obligated to say is, I mean, I'm also not supposed to go so much into oral Torah, but you know, they keep asking.
You can give a general answer. If you're working, someone asks you about tzitzis, you can tell them it's a, you know, look it up in the Bible, it's a reminder, because that. I don't think they want to go through all the tzitzis in every detail. Yeah. And you can say sometimes, you can say, you know, the Jewish law tends to be very complex, and, you know, it's a major work. You can say it's an area, not the thing versus, keep the generalities, and as long as the generality fits their sense of things, it usually works.
I can tell someone to look in the Kodesh?
Yeah, tell somebody, look at them, they have Bibles, so you tell them, you know, look at the Bible. Most of them don't have a Bible, so you know, they know there is a Bible, but they have, very few people have accessed it. So you can tell them, look at that, and so on. And, you can sort of brush it off and say it's very complicated. But you can tell them a general picture. This is where people of God and do many things to keep in mind and to behave, because there's a God in our lives. Yeah?
In the situation where the kids pass the children into marriage, is it appropriate to be mispallel that the non-Jewish person should convert?
You can be mispallel that, you know, that the intermarriage comes to an end, and if that person converts, that's another way for it. It's fascinating. I mean, one of the fascinating phenomena that I've seen in Silver Spring is amazing. You will have an intermarried couple where the non-Jewish side begins to become interested in Judaism. They buy into it, and they schlep their poor partner screaming and yelling to become frum. This happens very often. And maybe this is, you know, there's part of it, there's what we do and what Hashem does. Hashem brought out of Moav and Ammon. He brought out David HaMelech, out of stone, out of Moav, out of Ammon, and Matsasi David Avdi. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's head. Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you know, there are many, Klal Yisrael has been enriched extraordinarily by many Geret Tzedek who schlepped back people. I mean, you know, there's many people like that. And it's fascinating. But that's their cheshem. So you can respond that the intermarriage is over, so they can break up, or they can become, you know, they can become Shlomo Emuni Yisrael. You know, that's already Hashem. Yes?
What's the situation with an intermarriage where the guy has a Jewish father, and they grew up in a religious family, so their kids would be Jewish and raised Jewish?
So you have to tell the kids at some point that, you know, if they're going to a school or something, a school is usually aware of it. When they come old enough and so on, they need to understand that it's either gay or so. It's not infrequent. You get this every so often. You know, at that time you tell the child, listen, you have a choice. You can remain non-Jew. You are non-Jew halachically. You can remain that way. Or if you choose to be Jewish, it's a process. You know, you gay. We usually do not discourage those kids, but they also have to understand halachically that they're undertaking something. They're not Jewish, they're undertaking it. This is something with case by case, but you at some point you're going to have to tell the person. Rabbi Yashiv Paskin once, it was in the behalf of the Russian Jews, that if a person is integrated in the Jewish community, where he will probably marry into the community, you don't have to discourage them if they come to be this guy. I don't know if it was because practically you're preventing a mixture. I don't remember, it was a long time, it was the 80s. But his point was that if the person sees himself as Jewish and he's seen as being part of Jewish society, if he sincerely is mekabel mitzvahs, there's no, you do not have to push him away.
Yes. Yeah, so I was wondering, so you were mentioning a lot about the dorm between, there was this, you know, to sort of discourage interaction between Jews and non-Jews.
Right.
And a lot about the cultural side of people being, right, the more you hang out around certain people, so you can pick up certain things from them. So I'm wondering, in terms of how do you see the relationship between from Jews and non-from Jews who maybe have adopted more of like outside cultural influences or cultural influences that aren't really considered to be aligned with?
Over there, you're struggling with something else.
Yeah.
You have an obligation after Kamocha. You have an obligation to try to bring them closer, and becoming personally friendly with them is that. So there, you need to ask yourself, am I being sucked into something? You know, am my children being sucked into something? The balance flips the other side. Almost all of them, we keep our distance, we're cordial, we're friendly, we're compassionate, but it's two worlds. With cholesterol, it's one world, unless there's a reason why I must keep a distance. But the need to draw in another Jew, and both for Benalu Haver reasons and for being Mashpia, it becomes a very critical factor of that. Yeah?
In terms of social norms in the workplace, if after work a bunch of people are going for a drink, and now we're going to drink wine, one person asked me a question, a specific question of like, Rabbi, does beer have the same category as wine in terms of drinking with non-Jews? But much more generally, what do we do in those social interactions where it's a norm where after work everyone goes for a drink? And
So, halachically, any mashke that's a shachar together is a problem. And I would say that would be the... there will be a reason to stay away. In other words, to tell people, you know, you've got a tough home situation, you've got to be home early for the kids, for the wife, whatever it is. It is something, you know, at work also. The less you're personally involved, the healthier it is, and the more correct it is. People need to value you as a very good worker who's kind of different. And you know what? It's an exciting, because normal people like to feel normal. Normal people don't want to feel like they're weird. And if your thing at work is this guy is great at computers, but he's kind of a odd bird, he never hangs out, never does, he's gone, and that's it. That's hopefully when you come to the Beis Medrash. That's where everybody says, Chaim, how are you? You know, that's where you drink your Chaim. But you know, I'm serious, a person needs chaver, a person needs that. And at work, you need to be effective, efficient, honest, all those milas, caring, compassionate, but I quoted, somebody wrote a biography of the Reichman family after the collapse, and it was not a high biography, but it was positive overall. But one of the points he made, he said, in all their interactions, no one had any idea of their personal life, how many kids they have, the bar mitzvahs, the weddings. It was a wall between them personal life. They were very cordial, they were very menschlich in the dealings, they were tough in the dealings, but no one had any complaints about. And yet their personal life was out, and a person avoiding it as much as he can. Yes, that's a perfect example. For most non-Jews, the workplace is their family. They rarely have a family early in life. Many don't have a family. Many of the family is not that important. An important workplace is that creates that environment. And that's exactly the opposite of what we believe in. And yes, it's something that the person needs to pay attention to.
Okay, last question.
Yeah.
Rob, just to build off that question, at least the places where I was working in the past, if you were, I guess, quote unquote, you were just giving the example, you kind of have to be separate, you're this guy who's kind of different, and you just do your job, and you do it very well, and that's what you want to be known for. But at least the work environments I've been a part of, that person isn't necessarily the person who's going to, you know, get promoted or is going to, like, rise to the top. It's the people who, they definitely have a serious talent, but at the same time, you know, they intermix to some degree. They don't have to be, like, you know, the guy at the water cooler all day, but at the same time, you know, everybody kind of, you know, they know them a little bit, they like them, da, da, da. So I guess how do you, which I don't want to put words around it, but it seems that almost like that goes against what you were saying. That's like you kind of want to be as far away as possible, but at least from what I've experienced, you need to have definitely, like, a balance. How would you...
So it's a real desire, it's a sacrifice,
yeah.
And it's a sacrifice that we make to be cholesterol. I mean, everything we do, the minute a person has a yarmulke on his head, he has tzitzis coming out, he has payas, he's not there for Shabbos, he is different. And everything counts against you. You're not going to be the successful person you can in that environment because you're the odd guy out. But that's a price we pay for being cholesterol. So if it means a little bit, you know, there's some way of measuring, you know, if you're a little more friendly, but I'm saying, yes, the answer is our careers might be stopped at some point, but it's a price that we pay for being cholesterol, and proudly so. I am different, and I don't have that nisayon, where I work, being Jewish is a positive, it's looked upon very positively. But, but you will have that nisayon, and you will have the pride of doing something, of being tested in a way that I wasn't. The way that you can stand up and say, I'm different. That's the, Rav Wooten used to say that the biggest thing to emphasize today is Geon Yaakov, the pride of being a Jew. If a person sees Mamlechas Kohanim, that's what we are. We're a nation that's unique, and we have a unique mission. It's hard for somebody who has a lot of talent and has got personality and could have become the CEO of, one of the largest. And it doesn't because, being a Jew requires an established, but that makes your accomplishment of being Jewish so much more significant than my achievement in that area. Shrecha.